Hallelujah. Fear is not, oh, I'm afraid. You know, oh, I'm afraid. That is not fear. Fear is a spiritual force. Without fear, the devil has no handle on your life. And in the same way, without faith, God has no handle on your life. So until you have dealt with fear, until you have, because there are some motivational speakers that say fear is good, it keeps you sharp. Don't listen to them. Okay? Because fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. And turn with me in your Bibles to, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want to read verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It reads, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Note the word bondage. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption, not the spirit of fear, but the spirit. That's what you have received. Now, if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's second letter to Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 7. It reads, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. In Romans chapter 8, we have not received spirit of bondage again to fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Until you've dealt decisively with the spirit of fear, look at what you're missing out of. Spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of a sound mind. You have to. Yeah? Because without doing that, you have no access. You have no access to all of that. Now, I think I said it one of the times I came here. You see, now, when you start out in faith, so let's say there's something you're believing God for, and you've started out in faith, you would continue going in faith. Your faith will continue to walk until it comes across fear. Because, you see, and that's why we have to be extremely sensitive. Because the moment you tolerate fear, you have contaminated your faith. So your faith would keep working until you come across fear, and that's when to stop. Yeah? So that is why you have to. I hope I'm not going ahead of myself. Now let's see an example in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. To show you, yes, it is possible to step out in faith, but that faith would keep walking until you tolerate, permit fear. Matthew's Gospel chapter 14, we will read from verse 25. If you're there, say amen. Yes, we're there. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking. Jesus went to them doing what? So water, the sea became solid ground. He was walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. Because they've never seen a human being walking on water. Even some boats, if it's not created properly, it would sink. Where is a man walking on water? So yes, they said it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not what? Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. Now, a little side journey. Now, do we know how many people were on the boat at that precise time? No, but at least we knew his disciples. 12 of them, at least. If the disciples don't know how to drive a ship, they'll be a sailor, isn't it? So, no. At least 12 plus. Did Jesus say, Peter, come? Check your Bible. Did Jesus say, Peter, come? No. Jesus just said, come. Anyone on the boat that heard come that time had the privilege to walk on water. But only Peter stepped out and he walked on water. Jesus did not say, Peter, come. He just said, come. Anyone in that vicinity that had come that day would have been recorded. They walked on water. But it was only Peter that was. Only Peter came out. He's the bold one amongst them. So he came out. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he did what? He did what? He walked on water. So successfully he started his journey of faith. Yeah? He walked on water. But when he did what? The wind, boisterous, isn't it? What did that have to do with his ability to walk on water in the first place? I mean, think about it. What did that have to do? He was walking on water because he responded to Jesus saying, come. In that one word, come, was everything he needed to be able to do what Jesus did, to walk on water. But for him, not just to notice the wind. Was it wind or? I need to be very. For him to notice the wind. And that it was boisterous. Whether it was just slow breeze or boisterous. For him to have noticed, what must he have had to do also? He took his eyes off Jesus. See, that's where his problem started. Because the wind had no... The wind... Even if it was calm when Jesus said, come, it didn't have... It played no part in him being able to walk on water. It was Jesus saying, come, that gave him. But then... So let's not... Thank you, Sean. Thank you very much. Let's not single Peter out, just like all of us. Just like all of us. We now notice, we started out, let me see. Oh Lord, I'm believing you for, 200 pounds. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. You've done everything. You prayed. You've done everything. You're believing God. You're trusting God. You're giving God praise. The scriptures you use to go to God, you've got in front of you. And then all of a sudden, something just happens. Because you see, the devil, no demon in hell has the power to, no demon in hell has the power to take you off faith. No. He would only present you with ideas. The same way he presented Peter with the wind. He would just present you with ideas. And the moment you consider, And that brings me to Paul's rendition of what Abraham did. He did not consider his flesh, the fact that he was dead, and then the deadness of the womb. He did not consider. He only considered what was told him. So he sees the wind boisterous, and he was what? Afraid. Fear he. He let fear in. And what happened when that happened? When he let fear in, he began to sink. So in your walk of faith, you will be successful up until you hit that fear. And that's why I say you have to. You have to. The same way you know the day you were born again. You need to know the day you drew a line. Say, yeah. And that's a line. I'm not talking about being afraid, because Jesus himself also said, he said, whosoever says this mountain, be thou removed, and be like, but doesn't doubt where? In his heart. But you have to remember, heart and mind. Mind to play games. So you're drawing the line that here, in me, spirit of fear, you have no part with me again. You're drawing that line. Yeah, you can say you may think, oh, isn't that a bit too much? No, it's not a bit too much. It's you knowing. You knowing that failure is at the point of fear. You will fail at the point you hit fear. I mean, look at it. They thought it was a ghost. They started acting as if. But he said, he spoke up. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I like to say this. He sent his, he got you born again. He redeemed you. And he gave you his word for you to renew your mind. Now you want him to, you have to do it. You have to do it. And I'll teach you a very good tactic. Because I say this, spirit of fear, the word of God is against you. The name Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you. So I choose to tag team with the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the name of Jesus. And I refuse you. You have no part in me. I have no part in you. I refuse you. You have to. Because at your point, the point where you have taught, and let's not over-spiritualize it, you will know. You will know that, okay, I haven't dealt decisively. So it's at that point that you're going to start. That's when failure will creep in. So it is your responsibility, what you need to do. Now, and Jesus then said, I love this passage of scripture, because did Jesus leave Peter sinking? No. Did Jesus carry Peter back to the boat? Okay, the Bible doesn't say, but what do you think? Did Jesus have to carry him to the boat? Yeah, after he caught him. He had left the boat. So how did Peter get back to the boat? No, how did Peter get back to the boat? Thank you. He walked. So what seemed as a success, failure, or he failed? No, he still ended successfully. Because he cried out, and that's one great thing about God. Hey, cry out to him. Cry out. He cried out, and what did Jesus say? And what did Jesus do? And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and then said to him, oh, you, I need you to help me. I tell you, brother, he had to hear it, and we had to hear it. We have to hear it. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, we need to break that down. What did he mean? I mean, there are so many angles you can look at it. Why did you take your eyes off me? So little faith is, you are the one that went to God with that request. There is, spoiler alert, there's a personality out there that doesn't like you. Not because of your looks or anything, just doesn't like you, period. He has. but, oh God, too many things are rushed to my head. But to know that, on the one hand, he's crafty. and also powerless.
Did he stop you giving your life to Christ? No, he couldn't. He could not stop you giving your life to Christ. So he's powerless. But he makes things look as though yes, so he's, but he can only try to get your focus off Jesus. Even if, okay, there are no pilots here. If you go off track by 0.1 degrees, after 1,000 miles, you are no longer near your destination. You are no, 0.1 degrees is a very small, but you travel 1,000 miles in that direction. You are far away from where you are going. All he can attempt to do is to bring things. He will use your five physical senses to try and make you. He can't force you. And now let's get that straight. He cannot force you. He cannot even make you. He can just attempt to give you different scenarios. But the moment all you of little faith simply means there is still a chance for you to allow what you are seeing, the circumstances he bring, to get your gaze off Jesus. So, in order for you to be successful in your walk of faith, deal with fear now. Anyway, when you wake up in the morning, I'm going ahead of myself. But yeah, you deal with it and you practice it. You practice it. You know, do not start now. Yes, you give your life to Christ. You give your life to Christ once, but then this one you have to over and over and over until he knows. And even when he knows that this one cannot be, he will still try. Let's just check. Okay, yesterday he knocked me out. Now let me try again. If that might be a fluke, let me try again. Amen. So little faith simply means you have left that probability. It's you. Because that's how powerless he is. But then he will present it as though he is true. One way to know his line is, he'll say it over, he'll shout. Well, Jesus just said, come. And that come was enough for Peter to jump out of the boat and walk on water. And if Peter had ignored the wind, let it be boisterous, whatever, Jesus said, come, I'm coming to Jesus. He would have went to, would have recorded. He went to Jesus, they hugged, they talked. Oh, why did it take too long to? And they're standing in water. And then the wind is boisterous. Those in the boat, I mean, that were panicking. And then, of course, the wind will be knocking, moving the boat up and down. But they can't carry on. You should have come earlier now. You should have been with us in the boat. But I like it though. I'm walking in water. And then they'll now walk back to the boat. But for us, yeah, he took his eyes off Jesus. He noticed the wind. He began to sink because of fear. He cried out. And Jesus immediately lifted him out. And they walked back to the boat together. The wind was still boisterous. Even though Baba said, I want to believe the wind was still boisterous. I see in the midst of it because he was by the side of Jesus. No. I'm by him. What's going to happen? I'm with him. What's going to happen? I'm going slightly ahead of myself. Now let's go to Hebrews and chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to hear it from God's word. Hebrews chapter 2. The link between fear. The reason I'm trying to see, I'm doing a good job. I'm trying to let you know you can't, if you have been listening to those motivational speakers telling you that fear is good, it keeps you sharp. It keeps you on your toe. You throw away whatever recording they have said that you told you will never listen to it again because you don't need it. Hebrews chapter 2, I want to read verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, destroyed. So the devil is destroyed. Destroyed him who had the power. Destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And released those who through fear of death,
who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The bondage will not work if fear is absent. I'll let that sink. The bondage cannot operate in the absence of fear. Bondage, whatever it might be, cannot work. It can't work. It needs fear. And what's the what's the greatest fear of mankind? The one thing we are all, one time in our life we've been afraid of it. Death. Thank you very much. It's death. Let me help you out. Because me, this was, and that's this is a testament. That's the good thing about God's word and your persistence and perseverance with God's word. For a while, me too, I was, hey, death, what will happen? Death. To the point that when the founding pastor of the church my wife goes to, when he passed on, I was like, how come? I was like, so that means they cannot take anybody like that, a whole pastor like that. So I did not, I was afraid of death myself until, you flick through these. Because Paul said, of course, by then he had dealt with it. Death had nothing. He said, I don't know which one. If you're going to go to the Lord, it's my benefit. Well, I'd rather stay here with you. But said, because when you're absent from your body, where are you? You're present with the Lord. To the point now that when I hear a believer, or when I woke up and I just saw it. Another man had gone to glory. I just said, he's with his Lord right now. He is. Because if you are born again, that's all the dying you are going to do. Because to die is just to, the same way, how much of you it takes effort to take your clothes off. You have to struggle to take a, no. The same way, it's so easy for you to take your clothes. When it's your time to go, you just take it up. And I guess that's where my deliverance is. It's like, yeah, you shut down here, open here, yeah, with your Lord. Yeah, with your Lord. Amen. It is that simple. Pastor, do you remember? We went for the funeral of a friend, and then me, you, and Kim Felsi on the bus, we were talking about it. And Pastor said, it is when, especially when a sin dies, he's not missing us. No, in fairness, they are not missing us. It is we who had to say goodbye. We are the ones who are missing them. The moment you leave, the moment I leave, I'm going to be with, as I take my last breath and I open my spiritual eyes, when I shut these physical eyes and I open my actual eyes, I'm going to be with my Lord. Amen. That's your deliverance from the spirit, from the fear of death. You have no reason at all to fear death, because the moment you are present with your Lord, and then with that we are here, we will now take care of the body. We would respect, help you take care of the body. But you will always be in a better place. But if you now tolerate fear, the devil will find one bondage to attach to you. Yeah, because the bondage cannot work if fear is absent. The bondage cannot work if fear is absent. And I'm not saying, oh God, I'm afraid. No. If right now this is condemning you or is making you afraid, then you need to spend some time with God,
spend some time with his word. You need to spend some time with him. Or you need to take these verses and let him speak to you. Because right now, I hope you know, especially if you're feeling condemned, and because that too, condemnation is also linked with death. Yeah? So fear would somehow come in. So if right now you're feeling condemned, one of the most popular verses in the Bible, John 3:16, verse 17 says, "For God did not send his son to do what? To do what? No, he did not send his son to do what? Starts with C. Condemn. He did not send his son to condemn the world." So you have no reason at all right now to feel, oh, condemned or anything. No, none at all. None at all. But one thing you have to do is, okay, I now know the reason why I'm stuck in my ways, doing the things I know I have no business doing. Oh, yes, there's provision in 1 John every time or any time, you see, to go and confess it. But now you know the reason why. Yeah, I do it over and over and over and over again. And it seems you're powerless over it. Fear is still somewhere lingering in your spirit, because it is not possible for the bondage to work once fear has been eliminated. Yeah, it's impossible. So let's round this up with Jesus and Lazarus. Yeah, I'll paraphrase that one. He had been dead for how many days? Four days. The first time I heard the man of God preach on this, he said he did a study on the tomb of Lazarus. And the tomb of Lazarus is stairs. They turned him into, they mummified him. You know, back then, they wrap every part of the body, limbs, toes, everything, wrap everything. And then, two or three days, they keep the face open. They are mourning the person, the spirit is around. And then after the fourth day, they do now. Close, as in bye-bye, this person has gone. So, yeah, his case was closed. Bye-bye. Oh, sorry, I was talking about the tomb. I said the power of God had to, first of all, heal his body of whatever got him, that killed him. Because there's no point bringing him back and then he's still there. Okay, so healed him. The power of God raised him. Raised him from, they had to go downstairs to pick him up. So, out of curiosity, I went on Google, I started typing the tomb of Lazarus. Tomb of Lazarus. And I was slightly disappointed. I said, I know this was not correct. I had to go through I had to look through concordances to find if a concordance had a picture of the tomb of Lazarus. Maybe when I travel to Israel, I'll go myself and see. Irrespective. When Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." A man that was dead for 4 days. The power of God healed his body first, picked him up, and even if it is just one step he had to go up to, positioned him in the entrance of the tomb. It was back to life now. It was back to life. And what did Jesus say? The story of Lazarus. What did Jesus say when Lazarus was now standing in the mouth of the door of the tomb? What did Jesus say? Now he came out, but Jesus said something. Thank you. Loose him and let him go. And to buttress, to support what God wants you to, what God wants to tell you today. Yes, please. Is that right? Yes. That's a very good question. That is a very good question. He could have been with God at that time. His spirit, because all that was in the tomb was his body that was wrapped up. His spirit, we can conclude his spirit was with God. Because we are made up of spirit, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? So the body was what they left. The body is what they mummified and kept in the grave. His spirit and his soul was with God.
with God. Does that answer your question? It was with God. It had to be with God. Okay? But your new birth experience, because we were all born into sin. Okay? We inherited it as a nature. But the moment you gave your life to Christ, because you came born again in the righteousness of God. But I want to strongly believe those two, not only did the power of God, not only the power of God recreate you, you are also completely loosed and set free. The moment, think back to when you gave your life to Christ. I think back and, you know, it's freedom you cannot explain. I can't explain, but I knew something had happened. I knew it. Not a fear, I just knew that something, that is me, not just alive again, but new. Because if I wasn't new, why do I still need to renew? Because renew means it was new, but it has to be renewed. So, it now boils down, because it now boils down to what you do with God's word. John 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And I'm going to read. Yes, John 17 and verse 17, please. John 17 and verse 17. This is Jesus praying, and this is him speaking. He says, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. I don't want to trivialize this because that's what habits do. It can be over. It can become so overpowering that you don't. I did it yesterday. I confessed. But why am I doing it again? So I don't want to trivialize this. I always found out there's a particular time in the day when I. Okay, I'm not trivializing this, so please don't see it that way. There was a particular time in the day I must play, what's the name of the Candy Crush. I must play. It became, even if John or Joyce called, I said, wait, daddy time, I'm playing Candy Crush. Yeah? So I said, you know, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. So I just, you know, that, and it's 30 minutes. I think that time was between 7:30 and 8, just because, no, sorry, 7 and 7:30. So that's 7:30 is when I now get them ready for bed, 8 o'clock they're in bed. I just, okay, between 7 and 7:30, I'll be reading God's word. That's it. So I'll do it for 2 weeks. Let me see if this Candy Crush business will still want to hang around with me. After 2 weeks, every desire to the point now, I can't remember the last time I played Candy Crush. Not that, you see, now, a habit might not necessarily be sin. Because there's two things now. If you're involved in a habit that is sin, this is what's going to break it. Even if it's a habit that, you know, that 30 minutes you can use it for something else. Or nobody must disturb you, and you're just playing Candy Crush, Mr. O. But this is what I said, just 2 weeks. From 7 to 7:30, I'll just read my Bible. And I dealt with it. It replaced it. The point is that I don't even, when I go, before, I used to play, well, maybe I don't know how to do it. I used to play a lot. I had my icon was there of my face. But now it's just one. If I log into now, it's another. Or maybe I don't know. Maybe I have to, I don't know what I have to do. But yeah, Candy Crush is no longer something that takes my time. If I want to, okay, just play 1, 2, and that's it. But that's all did it. Okay? But this, it, and that, this is, that is your deliverance. This is what would set you apart. This is what would separate you from that thing that you are doing that you know you have no business doing. Psalm 119. Sean, can you help me with the keyboard? I am rounding up. Psalm 119. How many young men do we have in the house? How many young people? I'm a young person. I'm still young. I'm very young. Amen. Psalm 119. So every young person in the house, I'm talking to you right now. So don't, before you think I'm only talking to the teenagers, I'm talking to every young person. I am one. Okay. Psalm 19 and verse 9. It reads, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? Why should a young man's, why should any man's life be clean? If all of a sudden you have visitors, but your china is dusty, but your normal place is washed and clean, which one are you going to use? Oh, okay. Sometimes a china, they will clean the china, but they'll still clean it first. For you to be used of God, you need to be clean. Clean and available. It's one thing to be available, but unclean. I said, God, why now? But I'm available. He told me, if you are not clean and my power goes through you, you become crisp. Because of the presence of that thing that is making you unclean. That's why. He would only use you when you are available and you are clean. But how can you make sure your life is clean? By taking heed according to your word. Your word. Show me what you do with your Bible and I can show you who you are. And if I start with the young ones, yeah, you are living in a world that, you know, I'm a teacher. I stand in front of 11-year-olds to 18-year-olds and sometimes I bleed. No, I don't bleed. I cry. Because what they are open to, we had nothing close to that. To the point that, yeah, I'll go there. To the point that a boy who wants to be called a she in my year 10 class nearly convinced me that yes, so it's possible to be born with male genitalia but still call me she. But the solution for you is what you do with God's word. Because if you listen to anything but what God is saying, you will be convinced. You will be convinced. Ha! One girl said, sir, call me it. I said, hey, you are she. I can't call you it. But that's the times you are living in. And what will secure you, what will keep you secure, is what you do with God's word. Because God's word will renew your mind. Will renew your mind. Will let you know, lie, lie, lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. To the point that even in parents' meeting, when his mother was in front of me, his mother was calling him she. I never used the pronoun. I just kept calling his name. Because I'm not going to be part of that foolishness. No. And last year, it used to be Pride Week. That was last year. This year it was Pride Month. Pride Week, morning briefing. They were giving everybody lanyard, rainbow. I just passed it. No. Because if I was vocal, maybe that kicked me out. But I'm not going to. I am not going to give you the impression that I agree with your lifestyle. So I didn't. To the point that the deputy had noticed that of all the members of staff, I was the only one that passed it, didn't take one. He came, Tunde, I know you don't, but here's yours. I did not catch it. Did fail. I said, but Tony, I know you. I know your style. I said, yes, and this is my style. I'm not putting that thing on my neck. I'm not.
He said, okay, just keep it in your room. And then to crack a joke, he now threw another one. Second one, just hang it anywhere in your room. When the door closed, I just picked it up. I went straight in the bin. Straight in the bin. But yeah, this is it. This is what will keep you right side up in a world that's going down. Let's know. But then, because the point I wanted to bring out of this is, youngsters, what you have to fight and stand against. 1/100th of it, we didn't have it in our own time. But that does not mean, you do not have enough virtue from God, from your parents, to stand upright in a world that's going upside down. And this is what would keep it. The answer is, how do you keep yourself clean? By taking heed according to God's word. Read it. Don't just meditate on it. Let it guide you. And yes, I didn't have an answer now. I'm trying to get attention. I couldn't get an answer now, but I will have an answer for you my next visit, or maybe Pastor can. But my next visit, in October, I will have an answer for you. So God has an answer. But I'll have an answer for you. But this is it. This is what will keep you going. Amen. Now, First John, is it? Let's go to First John. First John chapter 2. Because all of it links with fear. Because once you've dealt with fear, once fear is no longer there, once you have dealt conclusively and you know exactly how to keep fear out, that's it. Job done. All you now need to do is stay on God's word. Let God's word keep renewing you, because now the victory is yours. Your mind just now needs to be renewed consistently. 1 John chapter 2. And for reasons best known to me, I have to now find it. Yeah, there you go. Verse 2. Sorry. 1 John chapter 2 verse 5. But whoever keeps his word. Whoever does what? Keeps his word. Truly the love of God is perfected in him. The antidote to fear is the love of God. So not only are you living according to God's word to become clean or to be clean, for God's love to be perfected in you, you are keeping his word. And then finally, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 reads. Praise God. Are you ready to shout? Are you ready to shout? 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 reads, there is what? Oh, you didn't shout that loud enough. There is no fear in love. But what does? What perfect love does what? That's your victory. That is your victory. Because for God's love to be perfected in you, keep his word. Keep his word. Keep his word. Yes, start by reading it like a reading book, but you know, you're consistently, but then graduate to opening God's word to find what to do. Find what to do, because it's in the doing that you're building deep, deep roots. It's in the doing. Just stick to God's word. Stick to it. Yes. And another spoiler alert. They are going to get louder. They are going to get louder. They are going to get louder. They are going to the point that even now they're making you. they make us look like we are the weird ones when they are the ones that are queer and weird. But it's their voice is going to get louder. But this is what is going to keep you. Amen. And that's your victory. That is your victory. You keep his word. His love is perfected in you. And perfected love will do what it does. But it will cast the fear out. To the point where fear is eliminated. And when fear, when fear is absent, your faith becomes potent.
And another, thank you Jesus for reminding me. We'll wrap up with this. I think Bible scholar says, it is recorded in the Bible, do not fear. Is it 365 times? But anytime you read, do not fear as a command, what follows it? What most times follow it? Do not fear, for I am with you. Remind yourself who is with you. Remind yourself who is with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Remind yourself who is with you. Get rid of that fear. Once that fear has been gotten rid of, the bondage is gone. It has no reason to attach itself to you. So, glory of God, you are now free. Have you learned something this morning? Stand to your feet and let's give God praise. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord, for your word that has come forth this morning. We thank you for your word. We give you all the praise. We thank you, Lord. We've learned. We have learned. The bondage will not work once fear is crippled. And to cripple fear, to get it cast out, it's perfected love. And to be perfected in love, we keep your word. So we leave here today with the decision made. Not only we will keep your word, we will hunt the Bible. We will seek your word for what to do, what to find and keep, what to continuously stand on. We make that decision before you, because therein lies our victory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for our redemption. Father, we thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.